Hey guys, and welcome back to Two Coach Girls. It's Jory here in New York.
And it's Abby here from Tel Aviv. What's popping with you this week, Jor? It's been a super tough week for the Jewish people, for anyone tuning in. I said that really peppy. I did not mean to say that.
I know.
You know, that's our pod, you know, it has a lot of pep. But yeah, what's going on in New York, Jew York?
I know, it's freaking crazy. First things, like COVID is like over. I mean, it's not really over, but you know, you don't have to wear a mask outside. People are literally screaming right now outside my building at the bar, having brunch. Like, people are living it up, and I'm so freaking happy that New York is back. A little overwhelmed with the social schedule because now I have to plan and hang out with people and can't hide. I saw a meme or something was like that when everyone got their vaccine. You know how they posted on Instagram? Like, I shouldn't have done that. So then I could hide and say that I need to still wait to get vaccinated or to like quarantine a little bit after my vaccine. So there's no excuses anymore, unfortunately. But I'm happy that things are back.
I mean, you guys are behind. Israel, months ago, we started the trend.
Israel, yeah, you always start the trend. There's always the best things out of Israel. But that's New York sitch. I mean, Israel it's the scariest thing here as well. I mean, there's like anti-Semitism every day, everywhere here, unfortunately. And it's really scary. I saw some, there's been like attacks here in New York, and there was a rally today and I could have gone, but that's where it's like the most targeting place for anyone to like hate on us. And you know, no, it's not like it was like before where maybe you could go, but probably nothing will happen. But now it's like, you'll go to like a rally and probably something would happen. I feel like every time I see something, it's like a big group of Jews against a big group of, I guess, anti-Israel or Palestinians. I don't even know what to call them.
The pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, I guess.
Yeah.
Mention, you can be pro-Israel and pro-Palestinians, just putting that out there.
You totally can. And I'm like trying to figure it out as we speak. That said, I'm going to go into a little bit later with our guest today, which is perfect timing, honestly. But it's alarming. I don't know. I was walking the other day on the street. I was wearing a Jewish star necklace and like I hit it. When I was walking past, I could tell, you know, a Muslim, you know, Arab family, and I like put it under my dress, and like, it's a small thing, but you know, I never really had to think about that before, but I wasn't sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, so it's the same. It's definitely scary. Like this is the first time in my life that I've felt scared to be a Jew everywhere in the world. And I felt like, you know, I feel like New York is my home, and like the fact that I'm, you know, the fact that I'm seeing these things right now is like, it's scary. And I also like, you know, if I go visit, I'm definitely like not like wearing a Jewish star, which like that shouldn't be the attitude, but you know, like, and that
I know,
and I really feel for like, you know, ultra Orthodox Jews, they can't hide who they are. And like, we shouldn't be hiding who we are.
Yeah, they're not. It's horrible. We hate to be such a damper, but it's an important situation. And our topic is two kosher girls, and we are girls that are Jewish and kosher. So we have to talk about current events sometime. But Abby, I want to hear a little bit about your experience right now before we get into our guests. And then like, just, you told me a really funny story before we chatted. So I want you to explain it.
With this whole situation, a heads up that this was my first time with rockets ever in my 25 years of life. So it was, you know, there are people that, you know, live in the South, in Ashdod, Be'er Sheva, like they're used to this stuff. And like, when I was here, you know, I lived in the Merkaz, like growing up here also. And I've spent probably like 9 years of my life in Israel. And this is the first time that like I've experienced the rockets. And like, even now, like, thank God it's over for now. I don't trust Hamas. Hashtag,
no.
Hashtag Hummus, not Hamas. I mean, no one trusts Hamas, but, wait, do you watch Glatt Kosher? The funny video guy, he's like an American that pretends to be an Israeli called the Yoram.
So first, no, but second, did you create the hummus nachamas?
No.
This thing.
Okay. I'm feeling it for him. So that's why I'm giving credit where credit is due. Anyway, he just makes amazing videos. So everyone should go follow Glatt Kosher. Shout out to him. I don't know him personally, but I love his content.
We should get him on.
We should. Yeah, he seems super funny. But yeah, just luckily my parents were here for my first rocket experience. So I was with them and it was just like, it's really
you're hard. In Tel Aviv, right?
Yeah, I was
not Jerusalem. Okay.
So actually I was in a concert for Jerusalem Day the day before everything broke out. And then right when I left Jerusalem, there were rockets there and I was like, haha, like Hamas missed me again. And then I get to Tel Aviv and that night they shot at Tel Aviv and I was like, shit, okay, that's it. My 25-year streak, like Duolingo, it was broken. So I have experienced it. But yeah, what I really appreciate, like it was really scary the first, the first couple of times and everything, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, it's just like, you know, jumping out of bed. My grandparents are also here, you know, we don't have a bomb shelter. Tel Aviv is not prepared for this kind of stuff. So we would just like go to the stairwell and like, you know, we met the neighbors and everything, you know, and you really feel the boom above you. And it's like, what is this? Like, is this World War II? Like I'm like, what the hell am I living right now?
Were you holding on to your mom's hand or like, were you like, was anyone like crying? Or is everyone used to it? I feel like I'd be freaking out.
Like, I mean, Tel Avivim are less used to it. There was like a baby that woke up and he was crying, you know, it was like a young couple that lives next door. But yeah, I think I was just like, you know, we were all just like kind of staring at each other. Like, you know, it's just kind of like a crazy experience, you know? And then like the one thing is that, that I didn't think was like a thing, but everyone was posting about it is like the fear of like showering. Like, you know, Hamas, like, you know, kept threatening, like, we're gonna hit Tel Aviv at this time. So actually when they said that the first time that they did it, they actually did pull through at the time that they said they were going to. So then people kept thinking that like maybe, so then sometimes they did and sometimes they didn't. So it's like very psychological warfare. So one time, like me and my mom didn't shower for a couple of hours because we were just waiting for them to hit and they didn't. So it's all that, like you're just like waiting in suspense. And then like every sound, like I saw someone else posted about, who is this? Margot, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She's the host of the Kiss in Tel Aviv podcast. Well, I'm like talking about all the Jewish influencers right now, but she posted about like, is that a siren or a horny street cat? Like every single sound, like meow or whatever, like you think that the siren is going off.
Sorry, it's funny, not funny, but that's.
Yeah.
That's clever.
And then what else? Well, at 2:30 p.m. I was taking a Shabbat nap, but went off. Like, it just, yeah. And now, like, even though it's over, like I was talking to my coworkers at work, we're like, even now, like we're still jumping, even though there's a ceasefire. Like,
of just, course,
it sticks with you. But
so,
what were you
gonna say? So at your 2 p.m. nap, did you go to the stairwell every time?
Yeah. You never know who they're going to hit. Like the Iron Dome is amazing, thank God. But, you know, people have gotten killed and, you know, you never know where it's going to be, where it's going to hit. And it's,
yeah.
So you always should take precautions. Like I know that like there are some people, you know, they're just like, oh, whatever, if I die, I die. But like, I'm an anxious person. I'm not going to take the risk, you know? But even in times of turmoil, Israelis know how to party. They're not new to it.
Always.
And my friend sent me something the other night. Like, we were super bummed about, you know, not being able to go out, like, right after Corona. Like, what is this? We're just going from one apocalypse situation to the other. And she sent me Kuli Alma. It's a dance bar in Tel Aviv in the Allenby area. She said that apparently because their club is in the basement that it doubles as a bomb shelter. So it's like safe to go out there. So we just like, you know, Hamas was threatening to bomb at like 3 a.m. We only knew this like later that this was like the night, like right before the ceasefire. And usually what Hamas does is like they try to like, you know, bomb the shit out of everyone like in the last minute to show, you know, that they're like the winners, whatever. Anyway, so we went out to this dance bar and like my parents were texting me like, oh, you know, like you should come back, whatever, it's not safe enough, bomb shelter, you know what I'm saying? Like it's insane.
Totally.
Yeah. But I really recommend Kuli Alma. They have only really one room. It's like this red room where everyone shoves in and they play like old music, but like it's really good. And like the other parts of the club, like I don't really like the music, but it's just like this one cramped room that everyone shoves into that it's great. Totally. So that's what we did for the night before the ceasefire.
Are there like arsene there? Because there or anything like that? Or is it like a good, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like I would say.
Sometimes there's some sketchy guys.
I would say there are cool quality guys there. Like, I've met some cool guys there.
Okay. That's so cool that you guys went to a club.
Yeah.
I mean, ending the ceasefire on a bang, right?
Yeah.
Like, parting it out, which is good. Yeah, it sucks. It's sad. But stay tuned. We have someone in the studio who is an Israel advocate, as we are, but I would say more professional. And then we'll hear a little bit about his dating life. So stay tuned.
Hey, guys, and welcome back. I'm here with Abby, obviously, and Elon Carroll, who is – yes, who is one of my boyfriend's best friends, who's like, you have to have this guy on. He's hysterical. He's super, you know, pro-Israel, Israel advocate, like we all are. But we just were, it's been a while. We've been wanting to have you on the pod and we're so happy that you're here. So yeah, we're going to get into Israel. We're going to get into dating. We're going to get into dating apps, Kosh boy scene, what it's like in Chicago. Cause he lives out there. But welcome, Elon. So I guess just give us a little spiel about who you are, you know, what's up in your life. Yeah.
Yeah, well, those are all my favorite topics, and this is my favorite podcast. I mean,
I don't know if you
know, but I'm big fans ever since Saul got on the feature. He's been saying you got to get on the podcast, so I'm super excited to talk with y'all. Yeah, so I'm here in Chicago. I've actually known Saul for so many years now. We're really good friends in college down at UVI in Champaign.
Oh, God. I want to hear those stories. It was really wild.
So many stories. Many involve Saul. So maybe some stuff that you don't know about Saul that I might have to reveal. So
yes, tell me.
Yeah. So I am I'm 24 years old. I am here in the Lakeview area, which is where all the Jews sort of make their home, at least initially in Chicago. And I'm in marketing. I'm a marketing manager. I work for, I can't say the name of the building, but it's the tallest building in the city of Chicago. So just do your Googling and
very
fun. And I'm Jewish, obviously. And a lot of what I used to be involved with, and I still am, is the Israel advocacy stuff. Anti-Semitism issues, which are obviously like, this is the week to talk about it. So little did we know before we booked this, it was a perfect topic to talk about. And then, you know, just being a single guy in the city, you know, navigating the dating scene, it's been quite a time, and would love to chat with y'all about that.
Awesome. Good to know.
Yeah, it's a great time. What college did you say that you go to?
Yeah, I went to the University of Illinois in Champaign, which is just downstate from here.
There's a city called Champaign?
There's a city called Champaign. Yeah, it's not as – you would think that, like, we'd be, like, drinking – when I thought we were – when I was going to go there, I was like, oh, we're going to drink champagne all the time. There was very little champagne actually consumed. I was kind of disappointed. And we were ranked the drunkest school – in the United States of America, two of the years that I was there in undergrad. So I was like, where's the champagne, man? Like, this is the same, this is the city.
That is so fun.
Yeah,
oh
so
my God.
To most of that. Like, we were half that statistic probably, so.
What is the earliest time you've ever drank alcohol?
Yeah, you know what? It was a little later than my friends, because I kind of remember early, like, you know, when I used to run to the bathroom, and at least I did. So in college, I went to Jewish school my whole life, right?
Yeah.
Since Chabad preschool all the way through. And so in middle school in Salmon Schechter, which is like, I don't know if they have them outside of Illinois.
Mm-hmm. They do.
You guys know them. So we used to sneak in the bathroom in the middle school and be like, you guys know what sex is? Like, we haven't heard about, like, have you guys ever drank before? And I was always like the last kid to know anything. And But I don't know. I think it was probably at a bar mitzvah. I think it was the first time I ever had some. There was probably some boiled poke wine. And yeah, I don't know if it was like hooked me at the moment, but obviously later on became a connoisseur. So.
Wow. And then you like did tailgating and all the parties and college. Yeah. Oh, so fun. We didn't have that experience.
Where did you go to college?
Yeshiva University, and Jory is selling us short. Okay, like we were in New York City. We didn't have tailgating.
Fine.
Like everyone wants to be in New York City, you know. We had that was our college campus, and it was really cool.
Instead of going to bars with fake IDs, we went to a club with a promoter, and then just got free alcohol. And then dance to like cash in the front. Hey. Yeah.
But moving, like speaking of college campuses, we went to Yeshiva University, and obviously it's like probably the most pro-Israel college campus in America. So we wanted to know what your experience was like being pro-Israel on a typical American college campus.
Yeah, and thanks for the follow on Instagram this morning, Abby. I appreciate it. Always trying to get the follower count up, so that's very nice of you. it was difficult. I had no idea. I grew up in the bubble, as you guys have talked about in the podcast before, being in the bubble, and it was never something I'd really broken out of. I've been to Israel 14 times, and
oh my god,
yeah, most of them were actually pre-college. I was fortunate to go with my family a lot. They have very close ties to Israel. I grew up really thinking like, oh, Israel, everyone loves it. It's a great place. And then, wow, was I shocked when I got to college. But I'll tell you, it really started the summer before college. It was 2014. I was in Israel with my family. I was actually also doing like a little bit of it. I was working at the time also and meeting my family there. And rockets were coming down in Israel in 2014, that summer, just like they were a few weeks ago here. And that was really an awakening moment to me. I remember it was Shabbat in Jerusalem, which is just like an incredible experience. Abby, you get that all the time, but for those of us who are in Israel all the time, I mean, it is just such a magical time to be in Jerusalem during Shabbat. And I was walking, and that Shabbat was the first barrage of rockets over the summer. And I was walking just in the neighborhood, and all of a sudden the Iron Dome red alert siren started sounding. And I had no idea what it was. I never heard it before. And it was just, I remember it was the loudest sound I've ever heard. It was so loud, you don't realize how loud this thing is. And then I immediately started seeing people running on Shabbat. I was like, what is going on? And so someone kind of grabbed me and brought me into this this house. This family was literally having Shabbat lunch in their house, and just dragging me in with everyone who was on the block. And they're like, let's go in the basement. There's a bunker. And I remember being down there, not knowing what's going on. I didn't have my phone. I was like, call my parents. Like, what is going on? And I remember hearing the rocket overhead. We couldn't see it, but I heard it. And the interception by Iron Dome was just so loud, you could hear it just bounce off the concrete walls. We were down there. I mean, it was scary. I was freaking out, and I looked across the room at the Israelis in the room. And what struck me was they weren't afraid. They had such resolve in their eyes. It was incredible. And just looking in their eyes and seeing that this is the normal for them, mm-hmm. was a profound moment in my life that really changed what the rest of my life was going to look like. And coming home from Israel that summer and going to undergrad, I knew immediately that supporting Israel was going to be something important to me. And it was quite a shock coming to U of I. We are constantly ranked one of the most hostile campuses toward Israel in the country. And it was certainly true coming out of that war into that environment, and immediately became involved, and we had a lot of work to do. So that's where it really started.
Wow, that's like very emotional for me. It seems like it really hit you hard, which is, I mean, good. I'm glad that you're a super big supporter and feel like you really resonate obviously right now what's going on in Israel, it's like probably intense for you.
Yeah, you know, family and friends have been checking in with. One of my best friends in college, her name is Haley Nagelberg. Shout out Haley if you're listening to this. I'm gonna cut and paste this onto Instagram. You guys are gonna get do all the clout for this thing. So I'm
super excited.
So Haley, you're definitely gonna hear this segment. So she was one of my best friends, and it was really her and I that were leading up this pro-Israel movement on campus. And she, after graduation, went to join, and she served. And she's still serving in the Army. And a rocket fell and missed her house by about, I don't know, 10 meters days ago. And it was on, she posted her Instagram story. I was flipping through, I was seeing, you know, brunch photo, okay, blah, 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 your regular stuff on Instagram, you know, pill for some supplement. And then all of a sudden there's a rocket falling on my best friend's house. And that was the start of all this. And, you know, as we've all followed for the last 2 weeks, it's been stressful for all of us. I think even those who are not in Israel, we feel it. We feel what's been going on. And then since then, obviously, we've seen a spike in anti-Semitism and crazy stuff going on social media. And that's affecting us all. So it's scary. It's, you know, it's scary what's going on today.
The last 2 weeks, you know, I've been like seeing everything going on social media and like wanting to speak up. But I'm someone that's like, not serious, you know, like I'm making jokes all the time. Like I was just like posting memes about the conflict, and I've never felt 100% like confident, you know, speaking out about it. And, you know, like I see these Jewish influencers like Chen Mazig or like Rudy Rachman really like, you know, standing up for the cause. And I just like wanted to ask you how you think like American allies that want to speak up, American Jews or like non-Jews that want to speak up for Israel, like how could they start that if you have like no experience, but like, you know, you want to be an ally.
Sure. And all those guys are great. Like, you know, when I was doing Prozo stuff, I knew Rudy really well. Like, he was getting started then. Isaac DeCastro is probably someone you know. Isaac and I were on a podcast together a few weeks ago talking about this. It was cool. Like, one thing that's interesting to me is when I was doing this, we were really into Instagram was like still kind of cool. And so, like, I was like, you know what, we really should use Israel for like Israel activism on Instagram. And so I started creating all these like graphics of like, take action for Israel now, like these videos and stuff like that. I was posting them on, we had an Instagram page we were running, and I mean, it's got no traction at all. Like, no, everyone was like, why is this on Instagram? And I was like, it's like bikini photos. It's like, and then like Hamas, you know? And now it's like kind of ironic, and I'm a little bit salty that like that's like so cool right now, because I was doing that like 5 years ago. But anyways, that was a different podcast. But yeah, I mean, I would tell people to speak up. Like, you know, a lot of people have been posting two squares, which, you know, I don't know if you all have a different take on that. The people have been saying, is it a good thing? Is it not a good thing? I thought it was nice. But I would say, look, you have to stand up for who you are, and you have to be as proud as possible. And it's very intimidating. You know, I was at a party last night with a girl who spent the last week posting terrible things about Israel on her Instagram story. And I didn't know how it was going to go. You know, I saw her for the first time since she started posting this. I never knew she had these, you know, views. And we didn't talk about it. You know, I was still able to kind of just talk about her, about, you know, what's going on. She just moved to my neighborhood. But it's hard. You know, there's a few people I had to block on social media this week. It's hard. And it's supposed to be hard. And it's supposed to feel like this. And I think it's an important reminder for a lot of people that we are in this position in America. We're in this position across the world where we like to think we're always safe, and we take that for granted so often, but we have to remember that we're Jews, and that at some level there's always going to be some people that are not going to like us for that reason. And we can't live our lives in that constant fear. But when we are reminded of these moments and we are called to step up, the most important thing we do is to step up, and that we share these stories, and we share that we're proud to be Jewish and we're proud to support Israel, and we know our truth, and to share your truth, I think, is very empowering.
Thank you. I want to go back into the blue square situation. Yeah. So I saw people were like, don't post the blue square. And then, right. And then people were like, post it. So can you explain why people were saying to not do that?
Yeah. You know, I only saw a little bit of that, but like, just, I understand where they're coming from just because I've been doing this for a long time. I've seen this type of thing. There were two like criticisms of the blue square. The first is that it was performative. And the second was that it was appropriation. The first being, there's a whole argument that around performative activism, that, you know, you're just posting a square to make a statement and it's not really making an impact. And that's not real activism. That's one argument that was made. And the second was the appropriation argument, saying that this is just, that we're just taking off sort of the Black Lives Matter square that was done a year ago. Those were some of the two arguments. Now, I think there's some merit to both of those. But at the same time, it was, to me, super empowering to actually click on that hashtag and scroll through and you see, you know, 30,000 people, 50,000, 100,000 people posting this little blue square graphic. And that made me really feel good inside, that people are not afraid to say, and even the small gesture, that I'm Jewish and I'm proud and I'm not going to back down and be afraid. So, you know, whatever your take was on that, I think that's cool. If you supported it, if you didn't support it, it's like kind of over at this point. But the most important thing is that, you know, that it's actually not over. That just because you posted a blue square, just because you've shared some posts about, you know, some infographics or whatever, like, this is not the end. Like, this is just the beginning. And Israel is constantly under attack, and Jews are constantly under attack, even when there's not rockets coming down. And I hope it's a moment that, you know, these people that have felt this way, like me, over the past 2 weeks, we can try to go forward and say, okay, now what's next? Like, how are we actually going to solve some of these problems?
I agree. I really, honestly, I posted the blue. I wasn't sure if I should post, but then I saw everyone doing it. And then I was like, I should. And I liked that a lot of people supported what I didn't think they would, or a lot of people who are not, say, observant, you know, Reform, which is totally cool, and haven't talked to them forever. And then from high school or middle school, and then they're posting. And I was just like, nice community. Like, we still have that support. And even though all the, you know, this terrible stuff's going on, we still have like a community of people to that we can talk to about this. So I really thought that was nice. But what would you say, like, going forward?
Going forward, it's important, I would say, to find one area of this that you connect to the most. Now, this is a huge topic, obviously, and there's so many various aspects of this that you could connect to and resonate with. And I would say, you know, find one area about this that connects with you the most and jump onto it. Now, for me, that originally was politics. And I was very into politics originally, and I started my career in politics. And so I started getting involved with groups like AIPAC, because for me, that was my way to sort of express my support for Israel is through the political system. After that, I actually walked over to financial services, I've recently joined the board of the America-Israel Chamber for Commerce, because doing that and developing the economic interests between Israel and America, for me, is really important. But there could be so many different things. If you're someone that cares about art, if you're someone that cares about creative people, you know, there's ways to support Israeli musicians and bring more Israeli music into your country. I have a friend sitting across from me right now who's a grad student, and he's asking, how can I work with some of my professors to support students right now on campus who are experiencing anti-Semitism in BDS? And so whatever that niche is for you, however you connect to it, go with it and really get specific on, I'm actually going to do something, not just say, like, you know, I want to support, I want to feel good about Israel. I would say, actually, go do something, like join an organization, get some friends together and organize something. Like, we have such an amazing power today to get things done. And we should do that for Israel. Like, absolutely.
I've never heard that before, that you should use like something that you already connect to. You know, I just hear like the general, like, this is how you should defend Israel. So that's actually a really unique take.
Yeah. I have a friend, she's really into wine. She's like a wine girl, and
yes, so are we.
Absolutely. And so she's part of a organization called Wine on the Vine, which is actually all about bringing Israeli liquor into the United States. Now, you're like, that is just amazing, right? So they actually have a website where you can order boxes of Israeli wine from Israeli wine growers all across the country, and you can order them into the U.S. And a lot of them are kosher, which is like a perk for a lot of people. And not only does it support the Israeli wine growers, there's also a philanthropic aspect to it, and it's also just an amazing way to like bring Israeli goods here. And so there's any single niche out there that you could possibly be into. There's some way to do it, and it feels good. It really does feel good. And when these things happen, unfortunately, this is not going to be the last time that we're going to be having a conflict. It's not the last time we're going to be having a spike of anti-Semitism. To know that you're doing something about it, in addition to posting something on Facebook, really gives you a great sense of confidence and pride.
100%. You said earlier that you blocked a couple of people on social media. Do you think that that's like effective or detrimental, or like what caused you to block them and everything?
Yeah, so like for me, I just like don't want those people in my life. Like I just, if someone's gonna be just toxic toward me, I'm cutting them out, period. Like I don't even think about it twice. And there was this girl in particular who I was friends with in college, and like, you know, who you go to college and you just like meet all those people, and then like they kind of disappear from your life, yet you're always talking their story still. You're like, why am I watching this girl's story like 3 years? And so like she started posting all this really horrible stuff, not anything like neutral, like straight up anti-Semitic. And I was like, you know what? I want nothing to do with this girl anymore. That's like, I don't want this in my life. I got rid of her. So, you know, you have to do that. And I think like we shouldn't like be afraid to do that. It's important to have dialogue with people. But if someone shouldn't post like straight up anti-Semitic stuff on their story, like, no.
I have unfollowed. I didn't block. I unfollowed Bella Hadid because I'm just like, I'm not going to support you when you're a horrible person. that's like how I am. I'm just not going to support them. And then I like said a lot of her posts were like harmful. You know how you can like click on them and say that they're harmful or abusive or just like verbally not okay. I don't know if that helped, but
I'm curious what you guys thought of it. You know, because you know you both are super big on social media and, you know, following what's going on in our culture. I mean, how did you feel this week when you saw celebrities like Bella and others speaking out in the way they did?
It's just a shame because they have such a big following. And, you know, sometimes, you know, what they're posting isn't 100% true. So I would say it's just like tough to support. So I have to block them out of my life. And it's just upsetting. Like, I don't know what I can do besides like, you know, say this is harmful, inappropriate. I mean, it makes me really think about, I don't know, how the news is created and how people don't support us. And it's a shame. I don't know. What do you think, Abs?
What I found the most shocking is that like it's really becoming like a one-sided narrative now. And I don't think that I've seen that. Like in 2014, maybe like social media, like you said, like our Instagram wasn't as popular, but I just expected more celebrities to just be like more middle ground. And I think only like Rihanna and Gal Gadot were like, there's two sides, it's very complicated, mm-hmm. 70-year ordeal. And I was just shocked that so many people were just so quick to like, you know, with no information. And that was kind of scary to me. Like I was telling Jory earlier, this is like the first time in my life, like until now, I've never felt scared to like be a Jew. And then, you know, people are just sharing shit that they don't know about also because like their favorite celebrity posted about it. And just like big shock and like really anxious. And I'm still feeling anxious. You know, like we're in a ceasefire now because I know it's not over.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that I was shocked that supported us, like, you know, some sports team or some celebrities. I think Reese Witherspoon supported and said something, which was like, oh, that's random, but cool. so there's been some support that I'm a little shocked about. But I mean, it's hard when the news is saying, you know, such negative things. Of course, who do you think you're going to believe?
Wait, give us some positivity.
Oh, me?
Just being real. I'm being honest with, like, being a devil's advocate of what the other side is probably, I don't know, they could be thinking. Let's steer away from this topic and go to something more fun. So let's talk about more about you. So what are you doing? How are you going to be spending your waxed and vaxed summer of 2021?
Yeah.
Are you vaxed and are you getting waxed?
Okay. These are really good questions. So vaxed, yes. I got it super early because I have a fun respiratory condition. So I got it late February, which is pretty good.
Amazing.
I felt great. So waxed is a different question. So I actually was thinking about it. So I joined a spa, which is like a membership type thing, and they have all these different services you can go to, and they have like laser hair removal, and I have all these points because like they were charging me all during COVID, and I wasn't going there obviously, and so like they're like, you have all of these racked up points, like why don't you just do some random shit? And I was like, what do you got? And they're like, well, laser hair. I was like, okay, like maybe we'll do it, like this is right here, right? So we're thinking about it. It could be.
Oh my god, I can't. You're so funny. I've never gotten that done. I hear it doesn't hurt that bad. I don't know where you would do it, but it doesn't hurt so bad. I'm too scared to do it, but
we'll see. We'll have to check in and see if I ended up going through with it. But like, you know, I'm like a Jewish guy, so there's a lot of hair going on. over the vid, you know, a lot of people, I feel like either gained a lot of weight or lost a lot of weight. That was kind of the thing. And, I was always a really big kid, and I lost 75 pounds over COVID. So I'm ready to get out and like get some of the shirtless pics going on. And so, you know, we got to get hair removed. If that happened, we'll do it. So.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. What did you do?
Cardio. That was it. Cardio.
So you started working out?
Yeah, I started working out a lot, and that helped a lot. I started changing my eating habits, which was it. You know, it's like ultimately calories in, calories out, you know, whatever. I read all the books, and it's like calories in, calories out. And so I just decided I wasn't happy with how I looked, and I really wanted to feel better about myself, first of all. And then second of all was like you know, dating life was just not going super well. You know, it's just a fact. I was 75 pounds heavier than I am now. And I was like, you know, I really want to get out there. And so I kind of made it a goal, set myself to it. Like, this is going to be kind of my cue project. And it made it happen. So we're still going, though. Like, I still want to cut a few off and get to that, like, point where you can do, like the ad pic on Instagram. Be like, I'm just playing volleyball, but like, here am I at, you know, like one of those photos.
So. Feel that.
my whole thing is like, I feel like guys should be able to flex on Instagram too. So like, I'm trying to get to that point.
you're not only waxed and vaxed. You also had like this insane glow up. So you're like beyond ready for hot boy summer, hot girl summer.
Great, like it's so beautiful in Chicago. There were like 10,000 people at the beach yesterday. It was insane, and it's like now happening and like good timing, right? And so
perfect.
I just started seeing like a few girls and started like everyone's trying to go out again.
Few girls at once.
So I'm like right now just one, but like there's potentially another like prospect. So
good for you. So tell me about, I guess, the Jewish scene in Chicago. Like, what it's like, where you socialize, like, if we have any listeners there or people want to move there, what it's like.
Absolutely. It's awesome. I mean, I've always grown up, I grew up in the city and then moved to the suburbs. Now I'm back in the city and I love Chicago. We've got such an amazing Jewish community here. It's so diverse in terms of people from, like, different levels of, like, religiousness, I would say. So that's really cool. And there's so many young Jews that live in the city of Chicago that you just run into them all the time. And like all Jews know each other. And so like either I'm running into someone who like I went to college with, or like I went to high school with, or like, you know, we've just met each other because all the Jews like to hang out and party. It's like, it's so fun, and it makes the city feel a little bit smaller. And we're also really fortunate to have so many awesome like Jewish organizations for young people in the city that kind of get us together. That stuff's been obviously like a little bit reduced recently, but that's starting to come back again. And I'm really excited because if you're in any city at all, if you want to meet young Jewish people, go to like the Jewish events in your city. And it's like, that's like where you meet them, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's my dating advice basically in a nutshell.
Which dating app is the best in Chicago?
So I'm not really big on the apps, but I just joined J Swipe actually a few weeks ago. And there's not like a lot of girls in Chicago on J Swipe, but I've gotten two dates out of it. So it's been decently successful so far.
What would you, good for you. I'm happy that you joined it. So if you say you don't do the apps, it's you're saying it's mostly like Jewish social events.
Yeah. You know who got me on J Swipe, by the way?
Saul.
Yes.
God.
He knows them. He was so annoyed at me, like being like, "Saul, I'm single." Like, so he's like, "Get on J Swipe, man." So I got on J Swipe, and it worked out. Yeah, I like meeting people at events. I think the best way to meet people is through your friends. And so, yeah, most of the girls I've seen recently, I've met through just other people. Like, I met this amazing girl over at J Swipe a few weeks ago. We've been on a few dates. She's a doctor. Which is
yes, woo, make it rain.
So I'm not gonna mention her name because, like, you know, I don't want to say it, but it's my first time ever dating a doctor. It's honestly really hot. Like, it's really cool. I totally get it.
So, nice, yeah. You got that. You can take her white coat off. Okay. Wait. So you said you do J Swipe. Mm-hmm. Tell us, like, what's your, like, since you've been on a few dates, or I would say several, what's your, like, number one first date? Like, what do you think is a good option?
Yeah, so the most important thing about a first date for me is I actually want to know, like, is this some girl that I want to hang out with, right? So, if I'm being introduced to her, if I go through an app, like, I already know what she looks like generally, mm-hmm. right? If I've met her at a party, again, I already kind of like know, okay, am I attracted to this girl? Am I not attracted to this girl, right? But like on a date, the most important thing is like, is this someone I actually want to spend time with? So it's important for me to go on dates where you're actually like talking to each other for a long time. So I like activity type dates where you go do something fun together. So for this doctor girl, so they just started doing fireworks on Navy Pier in Chicago. Like Navy Pier is like a
nice
fashion, right? It was the first weekend of fireworks. And so I took her to the bar at the top of the Peninsula Hotel in Chicago, and they have this terrace, and we got drinks for an hour. And then we were on the terrace and we watched the fireworks. And so that was really cool because we got the first hour to like talk and, you know, do like, all right, tell me about your family. Like, tell me what you do for work, blah, blah, blah. And then we set this beautiful fireworks show. And then we started like getting into deeper stuff, and I was like, oh, I could really connect with this girl. So like those type days, I think are like key, where you're not just like going to a movie, or like even like I would avoid like the dinner date, the classic dinner date, until like a few dates in, because there's just more fun things you could do.
Yeah. You know? I like the activities. The activities are where it's at. You get to know each other. You get to joke a little bit, and alcohol is always a plus. Not too much, but a little bit, you know?
One thing I would say is there's so I've dated Jewish girls and not Jewish girls.
Yeah.
And dating Jewish girls is way better. Just like just to be honest, like
why?
And like, because they're just so easy on dates. Like, this is definitely stealing from like John Mulaney's jokes, if anyone knows, but like he's got this joke where it's like he's dating a Jewish woman and she's like she's like always like complaining to him, quote unquote. But he's like, I love it because I always know like what she's thinking, and she'll never like hope. And that's what I love about Dane's Used Clothes, because they'll always tell me how they're feeling, and it's like never a guessing game. They're like, I'm hungry. Like, I hate this bar. Let's go. Let's talk about this. And I'm like, yes, like tachlis, like let's get into it. Like, it's so nice. Versus like the girls I've dated who are not Jewish. It's like, you really have to like, I don't know. It's like really pulled out of that. And I'm like,
it's a little harder. Yeah.
Jewish girls, they'll tell you what's on their mind. You know,
John Mulaney's wife is Jewish, right?
I think so. Yeah. John Mulaney's wife is Jewish.
Yeah. I feel like I'm very straightforward in everything. I tell it how it is. Yeah. If I don't like it, I'm like, Saul, no, we're not doing this. Or we're going somewhere else, not feeling it. I mean, it's too, you don't want to play the guessing game. It's too much, you know? Like, it's not fun.
It's not fun.
No, it's not. Abby, want to get into the last segment?
We are trying to find you love. It sounds like it's going well with the Jewish doctor. She sounds amazing and hot and everything.
Yeah.
But just in case you've listened to our podcast, so you know what Kosh Boy of the Week is. So obviously we have to interrogate you, present you to our listeners as a potential dude that they'd want to date. So yeah, are you down?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
So yeah, tell us about like what we haven't covered at the beginning. You know, we covered your job and everything, but like, you know, your passions that we haven't covered, and like what you're looking for in a girl.
Yeah, absolutely. So passions we haven't covered. So my mom is an amazing cook, and I learned really early how to cook from her. So I love cooking. It's like a huge part of my life. When I work crazy hours, and whenever I have to make hard calls about like what I'm going to do during the week, cooking is like priority. I'm like, I'm going to cook. Like, I'm not doing Grubhub tonight. Like, there's going to be cooking happening. That's really important to me. I love hanging out with friends. I've got a really tight group of friends who I hang out with. And I love playing poker with them. It's something I'm not good at all, but it's just amazing to get guys. We're a bunch of Jewish guys. We've been playing poker together for years and years, and I know all their tells. And Saul's part of the group. He's actually pretty good at poker. He's taking some of my money, so I love poker. Working out is a big thing for me. I'm a cycler. I have zero coordination, so any kind of like sport that involves balls, throwing, and kicking is not really my style. So, biking, I'm like, I can do that. I can pedal. So I love biking. Usually do it at that on the weekends. And yeah, just getting, you know, spending my time as busy as I can. On my commute, I'm usually like reading and listening to audiobooks. I just like consume books and podcasts, obviously. So,
amazing.
Podcast other than ours, because
true. Number one. Good question.
There are other podcasts other than Jewish Kosh Girls. I thought it was the only one. Like, this is the best one, so it's not a competition. I don't know. I jump between a lot of podcasts. Right now, I was just telling my friend Max about this one called Huberman Lab, which is like sort of like psychology, like life hacks, like how to like hack your life with like brain science, which is like, I'm a huge like nerdy guy. So that's really cool to me to hear this like doctor be like, do this and you'll get like crazy energy. And I'm like, yeah, like that's awesome. So I've been envisioning that guy.
Oh my gosh, you literally sound like such a freaking mensch. I like, I'm dating Saul, but like, I'm kidding.
And in terms of looking for a girl, like what's really important to me is a girl that's just like chill and open to new things and wants to like get to know each other better. I think one thing is that we've all become a little closed off over the last year and a half. And when you're in a relationship, it's all about opening yourself up. And I have a hard time with that, like kind of like breaking down my own boundaries. So if I find a girl who's really open to being, you know, intimate emotionally, And that helps me open up emotionally as well. That's key. Like, that's it. We're going to go on a lot of dates.
Oh, good. BH, I hope we find you someone. Oh, so special.
Thank you.
We need to drop your Instagram for all the ladies. What is your Instagram?
Sure. I just got text from the doctor. So
yeah.
Anyway, so in case that doesn't work out, please send my DMs and maybe we can hit it off. My Instagram handle is at Elan Carroll. It's ELANKAROLL Instagram.
Amazing. Awesome. Thank you so much for being on. We had so much fun with you. We're definitely going to have you on again next season. Yeah. But keep advocating for Israel. And I hope everything goes well with the doctor.
Thank you. Thank you, Abby. It's really nice to see you. I hope we have a chance to meet one day. And Jory, awesome to see you. We'll see you next time you're in town.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Take care, everyone.